It's time for the hospital hazard of the week. Post-hospital syndrome. Did you ever watch the Charlie Brown specials where you hear the parents or the teachers talking and they sound like this? Well, that reminds me of when a patient checks out of a hospital. Family members are scrambling about, packing up clothes, flowers, and such. The car is running in the no parking zone, and the discharge nurse enters the room with a bunch of papers and begins.
Wah, wah, wah.
Everyone nods their heads, grabs the paper, and whoosh, out the door. I know about this firsthand, and almost have to laugh, except that it really had the potential to be dangerous. The last time my mom was sent home from the hospital, a young nurse came in with the discharge papers and began to read them as if seeing those words for the first time. She mispronounced every few words and seemed to struggle with the entire encounter. I had no idea what she said, and sat there feeling more sorry for her than I did for us. She knew nothing about my mom, why she had been there, what she had done. She was the assigned wah-wah to wah-wah-wah us out of there. Well, I recently read an article that began, "You've heard the expression, the treatment was successful, but the patient died," right? A Yale New Haven Hospital Center for Outcomes Research and Evaluation director, Dr. Harlan Krumholtz, has noticed the worrisome post-hospital syndrome phenomenon, which he described last January in the New England Journal of Medicine. After patients are appropriately treated for their condition and discharged, they, quote, have heightened risk of myriad conditions, many of which appear to have little in common with the initial diagnosis, unquote. Dr. Krumholtz refers to this as post-hospital syndrome, a combination of new metabolic disorders, pneumonia, gastrointestinal maladies, mental illness, and other problems that often bring the patient back to the hospital within 30 days. He says that sleep deprivation, multiple medications, inactivity, and monotonous hospital surroundings, especially in the intensive care unit, may be contributing factors. And we've talked about intensive care psychosis on the show before. So while patients get their diagnosed illnesses treated during their hospital stays, some can leave the hospital a lot worse off than how they came in. Why? Because in the process of giving life-saving therapies, healthcare providers are often unaware that the dehydration, malnutrition, deconditioning, and information overload that happened during a hospital stay may have long-term consequences to the cognitive function of vulnerable patients. But hospital teams don't seem to think about this. The discharge people do their thing.
Wah, wah.
Here's how to take your medication.
Wah, wah, wah.
See your doctor in 2 weeks.
Wah, 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 wah.
Try not to eat salt. But patients don't hear a word and can't recall any of it the next day. And that leads to patients getting readmitted. And of course, hospitals and physicians who treat their patients are very concerned about preventing those, not only because they want the best for their patients, but also because they now suffer reimbursement cuts up to 3% of their Medicare-based payments if their readmission rates are higher than expected. But let's get back to hospital delirium for a moment, because recent studies have found that delirium developed in 74% of patients after their hospital stay. I mean, that's a huge number. At 3 months after discharge, 40% still had cognition scores 1.5 standard deviations below the mean scores for their age and educational levels, almost similar to patients with a traumatic brain injury. And this part is important. The big variable was the duration of delirium that patients endured while actually a patient within the intensive care unit. So the longer the delirium persisted, the more likely the patient would suffer cognitive impairment, which affects ability to plan, think, or organize. The effect was seen as long as 1 year after discharge. So it's easy to understand that a disoriented patient who receives the typical wah, wah, wah discharge instructions will be at a risk for post-hospital syndrome and very likely readmission back to the hospital. So if you're looking after someone in the hospital, think about delirium and its causes, because as we've just seen, the effects of hospital delirium don't end at the hospital. Here's a few things I did to help my mom avoid some of the causes of delirium. They will help you too. Monitor drugs and their side effects, Ask for the Daily MARS, M-A-R-S, stands for Medication Administration Record Sheets. These are produced every day, so your nurses know what medications to give you. And you have a right to have a copy. Now you will know what is given, the dose, and you can monitor any changes in medication. In fact, I took it a step farther and requested that no medications be added or subtracted until I was made aware. In this way, I could monitor the side effects to be sure that any changes in my mom's state of mind either were or were not caused by the drugs. Secondly, instruct your providers not to wake you or your patient in the middle of the night for things like bathing, testing, vital signs, and so on, unless, of course, it's important to your health to do so. Next, coordinate the room lighting with day and night. Open the shades and let natural light in the room during the day. And in the evening, pull the blinds, lower the lights, and close the door as much as possible to reduce light and noise. Dehydration and malnutrition are two important factors when it comes to delirium that you don't typically hear about. And I wrote about this in my book because I experienced some very dangerous nutritional lapses during my mom's 4-month hospital stay that I won't go into today. But suffice it to say, the dietary and nutritional staff would have received a failing grade had I been their teacher. So be mindful of meal selection, mealtime, and offer adequate amounts of liquids. And finally, a deconditioned body is a body ripe to fail. And that is why physical therapy throughout a hospital stay is of paramount importance. Again, I wrote about this in my book because we had, or I should say, as the advocate, I had to fight daily to get someone from the physical therapy department to work with my mom each day. It's plain stupid to think that a patient can lie in a bed for 24 hours a day and then get discharged to go home and magically be coordinated and stable. Daily physical therapy is vital to offset coordination issues and the loss of stamina and strength. That's how and why post-hospital falls occur, creating a readmission. Well, these are all reasonable requests and things you should look out for during a hospital stay, and you should feel confident to ask your providers to help you achieve these requests. And at discharge time, to avoid post-hospital syndrome, ask the Charlie Brown parents to slow down and explain in clear, understandable language what you need to do to stay safe at home. Have a family member, or two, or three, attend this meeting. Ask to have a nurse or doctor who knows your particular situation to be present. And now, I'll stop talking.
Wah, wah, wah.